If you'll look again at that scripture reading there in 1 Timothy chapter 6, you'll notice sometimes that when we read our Bible, we have our eye goes to certain parts of verses that we're very familiar with. And I want us, when you're doing your daily Bible reading, getting ready for your Bible class lesson, following along in the sermon, just anytime you have your Bible open, try to train yourself to look at all the words, all the phrases. Sometimes our eye goes to the well-known part or the familiar part. And of course, Paul here is talking about those who have things to be willing to share them with others. But look at the small statement that sometime we might not give attention to at the very end of verse 17. Who gives us richly all things to enjoy. What about that part of the verse? God gives us all things to enjoy. And that's what we're going to talk about this evening. God gives us things to enjoy. Are we actually enjoying them? We're going to turn this evening to the book of Ecclesiastes and talk about a topic that we don't talk about much, and maybe we need to more. I think sometimes there are topics that we know that are out there, but we don't talk about them. Maybe in some cases they might be sensitive, or maybe in some cases we don't think it's really a big problem, or we might think that, well, that's sort of an emotional issue, and, you know, the Bible really doesn't talk about that. It talks about things like denominationalism and Calvinism and premillennialism and things like that, but it doesn't talk about emotions and feelings. And when I look out in the world today, it's very easy, and I won't spend a lot of time this evening bearing you down with all of the statistics. All you have to do is go home this evening and just Google something like the percentage of Americans who are unhappy. Just Google something like that. Percentage of people who are unhappy. Or percentage of people who are happy. And it just brings up all kinds of articles showing the current statistics of large amounts of people who are sad and depressed and unhappy. And there's all kinds of problems in their lives. You can Google it on your own. We won't be doing that tonight. And a large number of people are having all of these issues in their life and nobody talks about it. For whatever reason, I'm not sure why. Some might not even think that the Bible even addresses these kinds of things, and we're going to show that to be otherwise this evening. But you've got all of these people with all of these things, and I'm certain that there's got to be at least some part of the Lord's church that is affected by this. That we need to talk about it. We need to go to God's Word about it. There are topics that are hush-hush. There are topics that people don't want to deal with or talk about. Let's not talk about depression. Let's not talk about stress and anxiety. And what happens then is that people suffer from these things, and that can be the very thing that in the end that can cause them to be lost. They're not going to be lost because of denominationalism. They're not going to be lost because they start using instrumental music. They're not going to be lost because they have some erroneous view on baptism. They're going to be lost because they've left the Lord, and they've left the Lord because they're sad and depressed and lonely and anxious and suicidal and a bunch of other things. And so this evening, I want us to talk about something that we don't normally talk about, and that is Solomon's prescription in the book of Ecclesiastes to enjoy life. That's just as important. Paul says that God has made all things. He gives us richly all things to enjoy. And Solomon will concur. There are a lot of people out there that are merely existing. They get up each day, well, I go to work. What do you do? Well, I go to work. And then I go home, and then I go to work, and then I go home, and then I go to work, and then I go home. They're just existing. They don't have any real hope. There's no purpose or meaning in life. God is not in their life. Jesus is not in their life. The Bible is not in their life. They're not enjoying life. It's just a grind. It's just, you get up and you just do it all over again, and you go to bed at night and you get up and you do it all over again. And these things happen, and people don't want to talk about it. They don't want to admit it. They don't want to talk about their innermost feelings about this or that. And so they just keep it in. And these reports that are out there now are showing that large numbers of teenagers are having this happen in their life. And the phone is not helping them. That's driving them into even deeper despair. The phone is absolutely not helping them. It's making them go into farther into a pit. And so they don't say anything, the parents don't know, and nobody's talking about it, and it just gets worse, worse, and worse until you end up with some very sad story that may involve someone's death or someone, you know, a serious situation. So this evening, I want us to talk about the statements. There are six places in the book of Ecclesiastes, and I want you to turn with me this evening to Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 24. We're going to look at what I'm going to call the enjoy statements in the book of Ecclesiastes. And this has been on my mind for some time. Last fall, I went through the book of Ecclesiastes once a week with a young man that had been visiting here at the church service, and we were having weekly Bible studies on Wednesdays, Tuesdays and Wednesdays, once a week, from about June of last year all the way to December, several months. And we did different books of the Bible, different topics. And one of them was Ecclesiastes. And I chose that because I believe that it addressed several things that was going on with this individual. So having gone through the whole book recently, it's been on my mind, this particular theme. I began to be reminded again of how when you go through the book, Solomon says on several occasions that you need to enjoy life. I had preached on the book before. There are other themes. There's the vanity of vanity theme, and I've done that before. There's the fear God theme, and that's a good theme. I've done that. And there are different themes and different ideas. Life under the sun theme. But I've never gone through and looked at this matter of enjoyment, and I wanted to do that. It's been on my mind recently. Brethren, it's not just simply the recent pandemic. This was going on long before the pandemic. The pandemic has made it worse with some people, but it was going on long before that. People are in darkness and they're in despair, and if they do get out, it might be to go to work, but that's not fulfilling anymore, and they just go through the grind. And there's arguments at home, and people are upset, and this problem and that problem, and fighting, and we don't really know the answer. We just know that all of this negativity is going on, and when in fact people are not enjoying, 1 Timothy 6:17, God gives us richly all things to enjoy. They're not even enjoying it. So I hope this evening we can help this matter, and I hope that we can remind ourselves. And honestly, I chose tonight and this part because I've been outside recently. Listen, the weather's nice. We got the springtime. You need to get out and enjoy life. And so I chose tonight to do that because you've got the rest of April and May before it gets hot to get out and enjoy some things. So let's look this evening at this topic. First of all, we're going to learn this evening, and this may come to someone's surprise, but people have to be reminded to enjoy life. You may not think about that, but you do. Someone might be thinking, well, now, look, enjoying life, we all know that. No, some people have to be reminded of that. The first point this evening is Solomon brings up a point that you would think you're supposed to know, but he puts it in there. God, through the Holy Spirit, puts it in there to remind us to do this. In chapter 2 and verse 24, let's begin to look at these enjoyment statements. If we already know what it is, then it wouldn't be in the Bible. If we already know that we're supposed to enjoy life, Solomon wouldn't be telling us that. But he's telling us that, and that's a lesson just in and of itself. We have to be reminded to do it. There is nothing better for a man that he should eat and drink and make his soul enjoy good in his labor. And I want you to notice in verse 24, his soul, that's our inner spirit, our inner man. That's the problem that's suffering today. When you look at all of the stories, it's the inner person that's suffering with this or that. Their body pretty much is fine. Their mind and their emotions and their thoughts are not right. And one of the best ways to help that is to get your inner soul to start enjoying things. And notice it's enjoy good. We'll talk about that later, not just anything. But enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw that it is from the hand of God. Now we're going to come to that in just a minute. But just notice, first of all, tonight, Solomon is just saying, man should eat and drink and enjoy. Why is that in the Bible? To remind us to enjoy life. Look at chapter 3 and verse 12. I know that there is nothing better for them than to rejoice and do good so long as they live. Look at chapter 3 and verse 22. Wherefore I saw that there is nothing better than a man should rejoice in his works. Do we really believe that? There is nothing better? Somebody saying, oh, wait a minute. I bet I can find some better things. Solomon says, there's nothing better than this. Do we believe that? Our first point this evening from God's Word is that we have to be reminded to enjoy life. There are actually situations where a person can get so caught up in a situation where they have to be reminded to do something that they would normally know to do. You know, when you get in a terrible car accident, this happens to people from time to time, and they're in shock, and the EMS people show up, and they go over to them, they're in shock. The EMS attendant will say, hey, you need to calm down and breathe. Take a breath. Take a deep breath. You're going, well, everybody knows to breathe. You can actually be in shock, and you're not breathing like you should. And a doctor or a nurse, or if you go to the ER, they will say, hey, take a breath. There are some people that need to be told, you know, you need to go lie down. You've been up, you've been going, you've been getting after it. You need to go lie down. Well, why? Everybody knows that. Well, they need to be reminded of things that even they know. You need to take a nap. You need to sit down. You need to take a break. You need to go to sleep or whatever. Have you ever known of anybody that needed to be told, you know, you probably ought to drink something. You probably ought to drink some water. You probably ought to eat something. Well, why? Why be told that? Because our mind in a situation can get on a situation where we need to be reminded. And people are going full blast and they need to be reminded to enjoy life. The second thing that is very important while we're here in chapter 2 and verse 24 is to be reminded that this is not a Chris Reeves positive mental attitude seminar tonight. Enjoyment is a gift from God. Underscore that in your Bible. This is not Chris Reeves wanting you to enjoy life. Underscore in your Bible, this is from God. Now somebody says, well, I read in my Bible about like the gift of salvation. Yeah, that's one. And the gift of God's Word, that's another one. There's all kinds of gifts. And one of those gifts is to enjoy life. This is very important. The devil can get you to lose your soul a number of different ways. And one of the ways that he's using in our current culture is this very thing. Yes, he can use error. And yes, he can use sexual sin. And yes, he can use this and use that. But he can use things like depression and grief and this darkness that descends on people. He can use that too. This is a gift from God. Look at chapter 2 and verse 26. For to the man that pleases him, God gives wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner, he gives travail in those things. This is coming from God. Look at chapter 3 and verse 13 that we read earlier. Is the gift of God. Look at chapter 5, verses 18 through 20. Behold, that which I have seen to be good and to be comely or pleasant is for one to eat and to drink and to enjoy good in all his labor wherein he labors under the sun all the days of his life, which God has given him, for this is his portion. Every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth and hath given him power to eat thereof and to take his portion and to rejoice in his labor. This is the gift of God. Underscore that. Brethren, the gift of God is not things simply involving salvation from sin. We talk about that a lot. But simple enjoyment in life is what God intends. That matches up with what Paul said in 1 Timothy 6. Turn with me to chapter 8 and verse 15. Then I commended mirth because a man hath no better thing under the sun than to eat and to drink and to be joyful, for that shall abide with him in his labor all the days of his life which God has given him under the sun. The second point this evening is that God wants you to have what we're talking about tonight. Again, it's not just some pop psychology, positive mental attitude lesson. It's a reminder that God wants us to have this in our life. And there can be some. We're not talking about an occasional bad day, which we all have. We're not talking about an occasional period of time where we might slump into some depression and then get out of that pretty soon. We're talking about people who descend into these things and stay there, and the devil would be glad for them to stay there. And then, stop and think about it, brethren. Are there any commands in the New Testament that we would end up violating? What about rejoice in the Lord always? We wouldn't be following that command anymore. And what about Philippians 2:14? Do nothing through murmuring or complaining. Well, we would violate that passage. You see, it has real life consequences for the Christian. It's probably an area that we don't talk about a whole lot. Turn with me back to Ecclesiastes 2 and verse 24 that becomes sort of the foundation stone for our lesson this evening. I'm just taking these points in each verse. First of all, we have to be reminded to enjoy life. Number two, it's from the hand of God. But look at verse 24, that he should eat and drink. It's just talking about eating and drinking food and make his soul enjoy good from his labor. The third point is this, and this is very, very important. Enjoyment is to be found in everyday activities. You don't have to go out and buy something. You don't have to spend any money. This is not, well, Chris is telling me that this coming summer, I got to save up for a big fancy vacation. That's not what we're talking about. Read that verse again. Just eating and drinking. Let me ask you this. When you were at lunch today, did you enjoy that? Did you just enjoy the flavor of the food? Did you just sit there and like it? Okay. And then he says labor. I've had some people tell me that things are difficult at work with them right now. And that does happen, especially when you're working with worldly people. And I'm not downplaying that. It's very real. But you've got to find something in your work that you enjoy. And typically what you can do is you can say, look, I know that there's all this craziness and these people that I work with, it really causes a lot of problems. But you can think, I'm helping people out there. I'm doing something, I'm producing something, and I'm helping people. And I enjoy doing that. Read that verse again. Enjoy from eating and drinking, just simple pleasures in life, and your work. Look at chapter 3 and verse 13, eating, drinking, and labor. Look at chapter 5 and verse 18, eating and drinking and labor.
Let's add to that chapter 9 and verse 7. Married couples, chapter 9, verse 7. Go thy way, eat thy bread with joy, and drink thy wine with a merry heart, for God has already accepted thy works. Let thy garments be always white, and let not thy head lack oil. Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of thy life of vanity. Marriage. Do you enjoy talking to each other anymore? Do you enjoy going out and taking a ride together anymore? Do you enjoy doing anything together as a married couple? Well, that's what young married couples do. They're in love, you know, and they're supposed to be out gallivanting around. And we're old and we've been married for years and now we're just supposed to fight all the time. No. No. So do you see the point? It's just everyday activities. So, when you're out digging in the flower bed, enjoy it. Cutting the grass, riding around on the lawnmower, enjoy it. That's one place where I get sermon ideas. Riding on the riding lawnmower. You know, I think I'd like to preach on that. Cooking. Whatever. It's not something where we're spending a lot of money. It's not something where it's some special thing that we're going to build up to. Just my mother enjoyed planting roses, and I have several rose bushes at home because she always did that, and I saw that in her, and I got to doing that. And there have been many times, and the roses are about to come out, there's been many times when I have slaved over those roses but have never stopped to smell them. Fertilize them and bug spray and watering them and trimming them and cut them. And I never walk by and either cut them and put them in a vase or smell them. And I have to force myself, that old expression, stop and smell the roses. I literally have to tell myself to do that. Because we're being conditioned to just get in this thing. And we're not stopping to enjoy life, to take a breath and enjoy life. Maybe it's because someone has told us that you're not supposed to do that, or that's some touchy-feely thing. I'm not sure, but it is so bad that people are having serious problems in their life, or marriage, or parenting, or work, or whatever it is. And so we've got to get back to the Bible way. So it's to be found in everyday simple activities. Brethren, and take it seriously. If you haven't been doing this, I want you to take this seriously. Plan at least one thing this week that is purely done for enjoyment. Try to do that. I'm serious about that. And then, after you get one a week, go for two. And then go for three. And go for four. And work up to finding at least one thing each day that you just really enjoy doing. I'm very serious about that. Because mental health is just as important as physical health. In fact, that's what spiritual health is. Spiritual health is mental health. It's one and the same. It's very, very important. So, let me encourage you, go home tonight, and if you're like, well, Chris, I got to work all week, I don't have time for that enjoyment stuff, well then, make it happen. If you're going to have to rearrange your schedule, you're going to have to do something, and if we're not used to doing it at the very beginning, it's going to take a little while, it might be a little weird or uneasy, but you've got to do it. And then work up to two times and three times and four times and try to be doing something. And then you want to get to the point that whatever you're doing, you're enjoying that. Let's look at the next one. Turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Now this next one is can be a little challenging, but again, it's from God's Word. Turn with me to chapter 3 and verse 10. Now, this next one's a little challenging. Up to this point, you might be thinking, okay, what we're talking about is when the day is going really good, or my week, or my life, when everything is just rosy and very good, then I'm going to be able to get out there and join it. But if there is death in the family or serious illness or something really bad going on, at that moment, I don't have to enjoy anything. I'm just going to wait till all that gets behind me, and then maybe a few months from now, I can get back to enjoying life. Here's the next point. It's challenging, but it's still something that Solomon talks about, and that is that enjoyment is to be found even during difficult times. Look at chapter 3. We've already been reading verse 13. Do you know that verse 13 comes right after the first 12 verses in which Solomon is talking about all of the different seasons that are under the heaven, and some of those seasons involve negative and difficult things, including death. A time to die, verse 2. Including verse 4, weeping and mourning. Including verse, as you come on down to verse 7 and 8 and 9, verse 8, war. And then right after that, Solomon says, He, God, has made everything beautiful in its time. And then he goes right into verse 12. I know that there is nothing better for them than to rejoice and do good. Solomon is fully aware of negative things in life. And right in the midst of that, he says, you still need to enjoy life. Now, that's going to be hard, but it must be done. There are seasons in life where God, even in what we call negative seasons or dark seasons, death, mourning, war, and other things, a time to not embrace. I don't have that loved one around anymore to embrace. How can I enjoy that? Right in the midst of that, he says you still need to enjoy life. Turn over to chapter 7 and verse 1 where he talks about going to the house of mourning. Several verses there. It's better to go to the house of mourning. Solomon is a realist. He lives in a real world that has difficult times sometimes, but we're still supposed to enjoy life. Turn over to chapter 12, verses 1 and following, where he talks about old age. Turn over there. You'll read about how that you can't hear as well. You're going to read about how you can't see as well. You're going to read about imbalance, losing your balance. We've got all of that going on. We've got people here who are caring for elderly parents. All of that is going on. Solomon is a realist. So I'm supposed to enjoy even in those times. What if you're with someone who's having some of those old age problems? You're, well, how can I enjoy that? You still have them to love and to talk to. Just enjoy the moment. Just enjoy the conversation. Just enjoy that that person is with you. This is not, I've got difficult things going on in my life, you know, schooling, and here's this upcoming test, and I've got an elderly person, and then I've got death, and I feel for the Matthews and others here who have gone through so much death, and if there's anything I can do, let me know to help you. They've been traveling, and that's a part of life, and there's other kinds of issues going on, but even in the midst of all of that, find things to enjoy each day. I was telling Sherry the other day, when I went to see my father at the beginning of 2019, I knew he was going down. We all knew that he was going down. And I wanted to go out there and be with him, and I appreciate the brother here letting me go for a couple of weeks or so. I knew he was going down. I couldn't tell you the exact day, but I knew something wasn't right. I was there, and I could tell something's not right. I just sat on the couch with him and enjoyed talking with him. And one time, first of all, he never wanted to miss a service. And there was a Sunday that I was there. He said, Chris, I just can't make it. I knew something wasn't right with him. He would never, ever miss a service. He said, I can't do it. But that night, he said, I want to go. So we got him going. On the way home, he said, I would like a Burger King hamburger. said, okay. So we go through the drive-thru and get, he loved Burger King hamburgers. We go home. I'm sitting there across from him. I'm just eating that hamburger going, you know, I really enjoy this. You know, I'm not going to have him much longer. I kid you not. I got up from the table. He said, Chris, I think you need to lose some weight. Yeah, that's what he said. That's what he said. He said, I think you're putting, and he's right. And I've been working on that, by the way. I didn't come home and work on it, but since then I have. He said, you need to lose some weight. Okay, now how are you going to enjoy that one? But brethren, he's dying. And I found things to enjoy. Like 2 weeks later, he was gone. When he got back to Mark's place in California. So yes, even in the difficult times, enjoy that meal. Enjoy whatever. Look at chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. Consider the work of God, again, coming from God, for who can make that straight which hath been crooked? There's going to be some crooked things in life. There's going to be some difficult things in life. In the day of prosperity, be joyful. And in the day of adversity, consider. Yea, God hath made one side by side with the other. He's going to give you some good days. He's going to give you some difficult days. Solomon is a realist. He's not saying, just live in some fantasy world and just enjoy your life and ignore the hard things. That's not what he's saying. He's saying even in the midst of those seasons, God makes everything beautiful, and enjoy what God gives you. The next thing we find, turn with me to chapter 6 and verse 6, and this is what's happening in our society today. A lack of enjoyment to Solomon is actually unfortunate. And it's unfortunate that so many people are suffering today. If you start back in verse 3, if a man beget 100 children and live many years, so that the days of his years are many, but his soul be not filled with good, and a part of that is enjoying the things that God gives, and moreover he have no burial, I say that an untimely birth is better than he, for it comes in vanity and departs in darkness, and the name thereof is covered with darkness. Moreover, it is hath not seen the sun nor known it. This hath rest rather than the other. Yea, though he live 1,000 years twice told, and yet enjoy no good, do not all go to one place. He's saying that this is just terrible. This guy's out there living, even if he has a lot of children, a lot of things, but he's not enjoying his life. He just goes to the grave. It really is unfortunate. And it's unfortunate that God surrounds us with so many good things that people were having these reports in our country and around the world of these kinds of things. But here is the answer, and this is what we want to spend the rest of our time with and close with this. Here's the answer. It has to be where God is in our life. Solomon is not talking about enjoyment that is purely worldly, where he's this playboy running around, you know, jet set billionaire running around this and that. He understands that this has got to be something where God is in my life, and we're going to close this evening that that's where enjoyment begins, by becoming a Christian and remaining faithful as a Christian. But I've got to have God in my life. If you turn back to chapter 2 and verse 1, you find what it's like just simply to have purely earthly pleasure. I said in my heart, come, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore, enjoy pleasure, and behold, also this is vanity. Chapter 2 and verse 1 is different from these other passages. Chapter 2 verse 1 is trying to get out there and enjoy things just for things. And that is not going to bring any lasting
joy or pleasure. He comes to the conclusion that that's not where it's at. It has to be in the simple things of life, and God has given me those things, and I have a relationship with God. Look at chapter 11, verses 8 and 9, talking about the young people. Rejoice, O young man. That is not happening with many young people today. They are strung out on this and strung out on that and bothered by this and bothered by that. Rejoice. Their youth years are being spent with all of this negativity and stress and anxiety and worry and this problem and that problem. And they're blowing through their youth years. And again, the phone is not helping. There are people here this evening that remember when you were young, you just went out and put it like a fishing pole in the water, you know. You rode a bike. You had fun riding a bike. Or I remember when I was about fifth grade playing a four square. You get the ball and you hit it in the four squares. And just go outside and have fun. No, we can't do that anymore. Everything has to be stressed and this problem, that problem, and then the phone's making it worse. We can't even go out and just fish or sit down by the river and enjoy the tugboat going. We can't do that anymore. It's got to be some electronic thing, some technology thing, something that's constantly in our face. And people are not any happier today. They're not any happier. And they're definitely not happy when they don't have God in their life. And so look at what Solomon says. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. We got to get back to being happy. But how is it about? And walk in the ways of thy heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou for all things, God will bring thee into judgment. There's a God that I am accountable to. Therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart. That's what's filled so many people's hearts. Look at that. Heart. Heart. Do we even talk about that much anymore? What's in our mind, our heart, our emotions? We don't talk about those things. And that's the very thing that people are struggling with. Therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for youth and the dawn of life are vanity. Remember also thy Creator in the days of thy youth, before the evil days come and the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. God has to be in your life. And then you move out from there. Otherwise, it's without serving God, it's completely empty. And I believe chapter 2, verse 1, where he says, I just enjoyed pleasure, but it was vanity. That is this emptiness. I have to have God in my life, and then he wants me to enjoy what he gives me. And so that's why he ends the book in a very well-known verse, the whole of man is to fear God and keep his commandments. Enjoy life. So as we close, let me offer a few suggestions. First of all, I'm not suggesting some hedonistic, reckless life or careless life. So Chris told me I don't have to go to work tomorrow. I'm just going to enjoy the day, you know. No, I don't have to go to school. I'm just going to enjoy the day. No. I'm not suggesting being reckless and being careless, but we do need to live in the moment. What happens is, because of those other things, we've conditioned ourselves not to stop and smell the roses. And I mean literally, go smell them. Literally. That's what I mean. I've planted flowers before and I don't even smell them. Well, why am I doing that? Find something to live in the moment. It could be a meal. It could be a cup of coffee. It could be a dessert. It could be a conversation. It could be whatever. But we've got to get that back in our life, and it doesn't have to cost any money. And I would also recommend, I'm not saying don't take your phone at all, but I would suggest turn it off and turn it over, or take it with you, but leave it in your purse or in the car. Just do something without the phone. Just try it. Just see if you can do it. You can do it. And at the end, you're like, wow, I was able to zone in. I wasn't constantly over checking. And I'm just as guilty as anybody. I can get into that too.
But we can't zone in and focus and enjoy the moment because we're always doing that. And one reason why the phone is not making anybody happier, it's because it's not a real person and a real thing. That's what gives lasting relationships, things that God makes. Man-made technology is lifeless, it's humanless, we can't build relationships. This is terrible, brethren, but I heard a story the other week where there are a large number of people, I hope it doesn't get out of hand, but there's a large number of people that are falling in love with AI, which is artificial bots and robots. They're having relationships with artificial robots. What God makes is going to make you happy. I'm not saying get rid of your phones. I'm just saying when you're trying to live in that moment and enjoy something, set the phone off and you'll see that you'll enjoy it even that much more. We don't need to live in a fantasy world of unreality. I'm not saying just act like death isn't there and just act like the problems of old age aren't there. I'm not saying that. No. Live in a real world. But find enjoyment even in those difficult times. You've got to. It's a part of keeping our faith faithful. When you look at the New Testament, as I mentioned earlier, Jesus said in Matthew 6, do not worry, and yet people are doing that. And Paul said in Philippians 4, do not be anxious and do not worry, but people are doing that. The very thing that involved these emotions and mental states and all of that, people are doing all of that stuff. And Jesus said, don't do it, and Paul said, don't do it. We're learning this evening how that we can avoid those things that Jesus and Paul said, don't do. We don't need to engage in some hedonistic immorality. We do need to enjoy good, clean fun. In fact, depending upon your version, the very first verse that we read this evening in chapter 2 and verse 24 talks about enjoying the good. We're talking about things that God would authorize and ordain, and in God's word he says these are good things to enjoy. Obviously, we're not talking about worldliness. And then last of all, and this is very important, especially as we are about to extend the invitation, we don't need to enjoy life without God. In chapter 2 and verse 1, that's a dead-end road. Somebody says, well, you know, I'm going to go enjoy some stuff this week. It's not going to be lasting and it's not going to be meaningful until you become a Christian. We've got to have God in our life. The reason the Ethiopian eunuch went on his way rejoicing, the reason that the jailer and his household rejoiced late that night was because their sins were washed away and Christ came into their life, and that's where their life began, and that's where it needs to continue. It has to be an enjoyment with God. We need to become a child of God, and we need to live each and every day faithfully in His sight. Those of us who are married this evening, we're to enjoy that. We're to enjoy our children. We're to enjoy our things. When you're riding home this evening, the sun is still out, just look out the window and enjoy the blue sky. I'm literally talking about all throughout the day. I'm literally talking about many, many things throughout the day. That will change our health, our spiritual health. Not only that, but we will actually be fulfilling those Bible passages where Paul says, rejoice always, in those kinds of things. We really will have Philippians 4, contentment. We really will do things. Paul says, do all things without this anxious feeling, but in prayer and supplication, let your needs be made known to God. In nothing be anxious. Nothing. That's a tall order. But it starts with having a life that we are enjoying. I hope this evening that has helped us. It certainly helped me to think about these things more. Let's go out this week and let's fulfill all of our obligations that we're supposed to fulfill.
We're not saying slack off on that, but we're saying what Solomon is saying through God's word, to enjoy life. It is a gift from God. Now, another gift that he's given you this evening is the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. I would encourage you to come and put him on in baptism. You really cannot begin enjoyment until it begins with you being a Christian. If there's a child of God here this evening that has gotten sidetracked in some way and their mind and their heart is off those things that they need to be doing, you can come back. That's the only way we can be happy. To be happy. That's what God wants for us. You know, there's a lot of things that God wants for us, and we stress those things a lot. We stress God wants us to do things that are authorized, and God wants us to do this, and God wants us to do that. Do you know that God just wants you to be happy? And that really changes a lot in our life. We're going to sing this song, Prepare to Meet Thy God. And we certainly don't want to meet him with sin in our life. So if we can encourage you to have that washed away, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?